kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Talk on today, and our title is We Have Faith to the End. We have faith to the end. And I'd like to base this from the book of Job, a very familiar chapter and verse, which we will find in Job 13, chapter 13 and verse 15. Job 13 and verse 15. And here in his trials that he's going through, he has come to this place where he says this before God, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. How did Job arrive at such a confession? Was this something he was saying in a religious way, trying to please God, trying to do the right thing and say the right thing? Or was something happening to this man that made him speak this by the Spirit, by experience? You see, we're all taught, aren't we, to confess a good confession, and rightly so. It is important that our confession lines up with the promises of God's word. And we do that. It's not until it seems that everything is stripped from you, those things that we rely upon, we take for granted each day, our creature comforts, when suddenly a situation becomes completely different, do we then find that it's all about what we really believe? And we have said many, many times, of course, over the years, this is why God allows us to go through much trial and tribulation, because we are learning that it is faith to the end. It is not just faith for this situation or something I'm believing for. We're ultimately having a faith work within us that is going to remain faithful to the end. Whether you take your last breath or whether indeed we go up in the rapture. And it's interesting that Job's trials, as we know, what he was going through was designed to perfect his faith. It was to take all dependence off the things that hinder our faith. And this is why, of course, we go through trial and tribulation, because many of those trials are designed to make us independent so that we trust God and God alone, so that we don't depend upon these props that the world depends on. And of course, Job was a wealthy man, a blessed man, and he had got a lot. And he lost the whole lot. And not only had he lost and his family, but also he was afflicted with terrible boils, sores. And even we find that his wife was not much comfort to him either. He then encounters his three friends who in their own way try to encourage him. But sadly, they become suspicious and think, well, what's Job done to deserve all of this? He must have sinned. He's gone wrong somewhere because this sort of thing doesn't happen. And of course, we too can adopt that attitude. We start to think, well, what sin has that brother or sister committed? And it's not to say that they haven't. But God is far bigger and greater than our prejudice or what we think God is saying or doing. And it's not to say that we're not to have discernment. We spoke, didn't we, on Sunday of how important it is to pray one for another and to be prepared to stand in the gap for one another. But let us not forget that God is much bigger and greater. And thank God he is. Because that he's great enough to deal with our weaknesses, and we have them. And we know that Job also confessed that the very thing that he feared came upon him. Here we see the humanity of the man, and yet he had faith. And he had faith to such a point that God said to Satan, you can do all that you want, you can buffet him, but there's one thing you will not do, you will not take his life. And so we read all these chapters of Job's journey through these deep trials. And he comes to this place in these trials where he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And of course, in many ways, he had come to a point where it virtually looked as though he was almost slayed. He hadn't got anything left. He was overcoming himself. His friends, his wife, were not much comfort to him. Now, at that point, he could have turned his back on Almighty God, but he didn't. And he said, I've lost everything. Everything is gone. And even if he slays me, I will still believe in him. I will not stop. Do you know something? God loves that. That is ultimately what he's working with each of us. Bringing each of us to that point through the trials and testings so that we're not looking or blaming God that he didn't provide at that point or he wasn't true to his promise. Or he didn't heal me as I asked him, or whatever it would be. He's working with us to get to this place that even if he slay me, even if it doesn't happen in this life, I still choose to believe him. And that is a faith that believes to the end. You see, Job is trying to say to his friends, who mean well, that this is what God has brought me to. And that's what he's trying to say. And that's what we, in many ways, experience. God has brought me to this place where even if he slay me, I will still believe. Now, of course, many don't understand that. Many misinterpret that. You know, many could have thought, well, here's a man upright, walking with God. How could God do a thing like this to him? How could he strip him of everything and even his health? And maybe we've thought that at times when we have seen others go through great trial and testing. And we have to watch very carefully with that. But could it be that God is meeting them and touching them in that trial that is only between them and God? And this is why I say when saints are going through a trial and tribulation, keep your hands off it. Be in prayer. Stand in the gap that their faith will fail not. Many times the trials look negative. It shouldn't be in the natural. But you see, God is ultimately working what he was working with Job. He's working with us. Because we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is always on the basis of faith that God will move on our behalf. And strangely, God is moving on Job's behalf. Job yet doesn't see what is going to come out of this at the end, which we will look at. And that is the hope of our faith. And whatever your trial is, it is always infinitely bigger than what you can see or what you are feeling or what you are going through. It is so much bigger because God will bring us through. And of course, we know that the trials purify. And that is what he's doing. He's purifying the sons of Levi in these last days. This is our testing ground. This is our school of preparation, as we know. And that is why each of us go through the various trials that we do. And do they make any sense? No, they don't at all. But we do know what God has said, that my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So we know that God has got a higher plan and purpose for each of us. Until we come to that place that even though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And this is what is going to get us through. This was what was going to get Job through this trial. He didn't understand it, and we don't understand it. He felt that God was against him. Have you ever felt that God is against you? Of course you have. We've all gone through it. We get an indication of this, for example, in chapter 9 and verse 28. Chapter 9 and verse 28, he says, I'm afraid of all my sufferings. I know that you will not hold me innocent. So there's a fear, he's afraid of them. He's not understanding. And then if we couple that with chapter 10 and verses 16 to 22, he says, if my head is exalted, you hunt me like a fierce lion. And again, you show yourself awesome against me. You renew your witness against me and increase your indignation toward me. Changes and war are ever with me. Why then have you brought me out of the womb? Oh, that I had perished, and no eye had seen me. I would have been as though I had not been, and I would have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease, leave me alone, that I may take a little comfort before I go to the place from which I shall not return, to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land as dark as darkness itself, as the shadow of death, without any order, where even the light is like darkness. Wow. Have you ever thought like that? Have you ever said things like that, and so on? This is his humanity. This is what he's going through. And yet, we can see just a little along this. And he says, with all of that, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't understand any of it. I'm wretched. Why does God even bother? And so on. This is what makes a faith stand and endure to the end. So, breaking this down into three areas, where it says, even though he slay me, yet I will believe. You have to know you are saved and in relationship with God. You see, through all of this, there is something that's anchoring him. He's just speaking that out in despair. But behind all of that, there is something that anchors him. There is something within him knows that he has a relationship with Almighty God. His life is not a mistake or by chance. Of course, he doesn't know what went on in heaven, where Satan came before God, and God actually brought Job's life to Satan's attention. And Satan said, yeah, well, give him to me, put him in my hands, he'll soon turn his back on you. So, you see, only God can do that. And so there we see the man is eternally saved from the foundation of the world. And there's just that knowing, that inkling, after a while when you were walking with God, that you know God first loved you, that he took the initiative first in your life. You cannot deny the presence of God is there with you. You see, you have to have that inner knowing and assurance. Else God will never allow you to go through these deep trials, trust me. So that is the first thing to consider. When it looks so pear-shaped, when it looks so obvious or different to how it should be. Or you're just in a place you do not understand. There's something there that God has touched your life, your heart, because you know you're not the same. And this is wonderful. You see, these are the experiences that we are to have with God. These are the experiences of the new birth. And you have to have that to be able to stand through every trial and tribulation. So that is the first thing in which to consider with regard to what we're talking about today. We have faith to the end. And secondly, You have to know God is totally sovereign with regard to faith and your faith. Again, this is very important. You may feel, I don't have much faith. It just seems that as I go on in this walk, I seem to have more and more unbelief that challenges me. Well, you have to come back to the sovereignty of God. And why do I stress that? Because the word tells us that he is the author and finisher of our faith. You couldn't believe unless God gave you the gift of faith. Trust me, it is even a gift, our faith. And we know that our faith is to mature and grow. But it is still a gift. Now, what does it say here in Psalm 18 and verse 30? Psalm 18 and verse 30. And he says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. So we are told here that the ways of Almighty God are perfect. Actually, in Hebrew, it speaks of absolute perfection, not a blemish at all, perfect in all his ways. The word of the Lord is proven. Now, that is important for us to stand upon the word of God. God will not have you to stand on any of these promises unless they have been proven, tried, tested. And the test is by fire, purified. There's not one blemish or defilement in the revelation of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. We can have absolute confidence standing upon his word and his promises. They are proven. And so in your trials and tests that you go through, as you confess the word of God, it is proven. It is tested. It is trustworthy. And all he asks of us is to have that childlike faith to believe upon these promises. And he goes on, he is a shield to all who trust in him. So not only is God absolutely perfect in all his ways, his word is proven, and he is going to shield us. Now we know, obviously, what that means. It is to protect us. And of course, this is what he was doing with Job. He only let the enemy go so far, but he said, you're not going to take his life. There is the protection, the barrier. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so, even though we will believe and trust him, even to the end, even if he slays me, God is still my protector. He preserves me. And this is why I constantly say over and over again, God has made no mistake over your life or my life. It might look as though he has through these trials, but he hasn't. Because these trials are absolutely tailor-made for each of us. And this trial that Job goes through is tailor-made for him. He just doesn't see the end result yet. And so thirdly, you have to know that he won't abandon you in the state that you may be in. You see, Job's not in a very good state at the moment. I'm sure when you've got sores and boils all over you, you don't really want to mix much with people. In fact, he probably wanted to hide away, probably embarrassed or whatever it is, but he certainly didn't feel like socializing. Many people were questioning him and couldn't understand what's going on with this godly man. And as we've said at the beginning of this, his friends, his wife, were not much comfort to him at all. So we find that he's totally abandoned to God. And that is what God often does with us. When we find we go through these deep trials of purification, often we find that people mean well, but you're knowing in your heart they don't understand. And how can they? Because it's between you and God. And it's not to say that we're not to encourage, so don't get me wrong. But God here is meeting with Job in the trial. And he's removed every obstacle, every person, every prop. There's nothing left. It's between him and God. And that's why he's able to say, even though he slay me, I will believe, you see. And that's ultimately what God is doing with you and I. And these deep trials that we go through. But does God leave us in that state? Does he actually abandon us? Does he prove that he's not faithful? Of course not. And we know this. And turn with me now, if you will, to chapter 42 of Job. And we'll read from verses 1 through to 10, which I'm sure you know. But listen at the end of this. And it's under the context of Job's repentance and restoration. And Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything. There you go. He's got the faith. It's produced the gold. That's what God wants to hear. He's acknowledging God's sovereignty. And that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. In other words, what he's saying, Lord, forgive me. I said things I thought I knew. I thought I understood it, but I didn't really. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself, I repent in dust and ashes. You see, God has worked the fruit of repentance, humility in the man, you see. There's no pride there, no independent spirit there anymore. The trial has done its work. And the trials will do its work in you and me as well. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken those words in Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz and to the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly. because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Wow. So Job is now in that place where he can offer and supplicate for God's mercy over his friends. Is this not again what our trials and purging is for? So that your prayers will be able to stand in the gap for your family, your loved ones, those who sin badly, God will answer. And so Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shunite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Wow. We really do begin to see, don't we, what trials do and what the end result is. And the blessing that comes. As I say, as I close with this, whatever you're going through, whatever is happening in your life, let God do that work. And even in your confession, even though he slay me, yet I will trust him, I will believe. You see, that is letting go of everything where even we're saying, well, I'm in faith, I'm standing upon this promise, God's got to answer it, God's got to do it. He doesn't have to at all. God is sovereign. What God is doing with each of us is stripping us where we let go of everything. And we know that the Father will be faithful. He will restore. He will bless doubly at the end. What I think is happening when you read this, God is stripping everything away in Job and with us to make our faith simple and childlike. Sometimes we actually know too much and it can get in the way. And I'm all for teaching, I'm all for learning the promises of God. Don't get me wrong. But we can still have a wrong attitude and motive toward it. Remember, God doesn't have to do anything. He is perfect and righteous in himself. And he didn't even have to save you or I. But he did by his mercy and grace. And the work that he did through this man Job is a similar work he's doing through you and I, through the sons of God, the bride that's making herself ready. You may not understand. You may not understand this day that you've gone through. There are things that have happened that just don't make any sense. My trials don't make any sense at all. And even though he slay me, I will still believe. I will still look to him. I think that's ultimately what he's working with each of us, brothers and sisters. And this is probably the greatest deliverance that we have. Because we're not trying to prove anything. We're not trying to put God to the test. Or I've gone through this trial, therefore it's God's duty to bless me because I've remained faithful and so on. No, not at all. Don't even think like that. Because God was dealing with Job. He was removing all those mindsets, all that thinking. You see, I think we've never realized that we've had more pride than we've ever realized, and the damage that that pride has done. But as God restores us and we keep our knees bowed in the Lord's presence, he's going to bring us forth purified as gold. And let him do it. Let him do it. As I say, stop fighting him. Just let go and let God purify us. The same as he's done with all the saints and he did with Job, he'll do also with you as well. And that's why faith is a rest. It is not striving. Oh, Father in heaven, we bless and thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Lord, we think we know at times, and yet we find there's still something new to learn. We still think we're so in control, but we're not. And why should we? Because there's only one that can be in control, and that is you yourself. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, your patience and long-suffering. How you work with us day by day, Father. But, Lord, as we've seen, you never abandon us, the same as you didn't abandon your servant Job. And, Lord, at the end, through his faithfulness, you doubly blessed him. And you do likewise. But Lord, we know that each day as we wake up, we hear those words, my grace is sufficient for this day. And may we draw from that, which helps us to rest and stop striving. And Lord, I thank you that you provide for all our needs. You are keeping us whole in mind, body and spirit. Help us to keep our eyes solely, completely upon Jesus and no one else. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God.
Constancy, for